Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi there, and welcome to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to talk about the period of American history from 1974 to about 1980, which was a period of growing political disengagement and disenchantment. The period after the Watergate scandal, following the resignation of Richard Nixon, and also a period of economic turmoil as America struggled with the aftershocks of the oil crisis, and also the end of America's monopoly on economic hegemony in the post-war era. Germany and Japan particularly had become net importers into the USA, and the Vietnam War, which ended with the fall of Saigon in 1975, obviously cast a long shadow over the rest of the decade. Now, I have talked about the Watergate scandal before, so I don't want to go on about it too much. Now, if you do want to listen to it, if you look through the previous podcasts, there's one I've done exclusively on Richard Nixon, which should bring you up to speed on it. Suffice to say that the Watergate scandal itself has a tremendous impact on US politics. It had a huge impact on the Republican Party. Nixon was actually one of the more moderate figures within the Republican Party when it came to domestic policy. He was not one of the far-right libertarian economic figures like Goldwater. He was certainly not as economically far-right as Reagan. He was no liberal. He did not necessarily conform to the left end of the party, but he had a reasonably centrist economic agenda. And with the fall of Nixon, the road was open for more right-wing, anti-statist, free market figures like Ronald Reagan to emerge, who becomes the next elected Republican president. Obviously, Gerald Ford moves on from Nixon, but the next elected Republican president in 1980. The prestige of the office of president is dented. The overall suspicion with which Americans held politicians had been a feature not just of the 20th, but also of the 19th century. So, like the United Kingdom, it's a very active part of American political discourse, suspicion of politicians. The office of the president had always been something slightly different, however. People who were suspicious of their congressman or senator would very often give the president, irrespective if they were not Republican or Democratic, and they had a Republican or Democrat president, who would very often give the president the benefit of the doubt. There were as many Republicans who mourned John F. Kennedy and Franklin Roosevelt when they died as Democrats. It was the idea that the president was also commander-in-chief of the armed forces and therefore was a figure slightly removed, or should be slightly removed, from the wheeling and dealing and the disappointments and compromises of everyday political life. Well, this changes with the fall of Nixon and ideas that had been developing since the 1930s about the growth in power of the presidency and the executive branch in general became far more prevalent, far more mainstream following the fall of Nixon. The idea that one day America, you know, in flying in the face of what the Founding Fathers had said, one day America might possibly get a tyrant. In the aftermath, the fallout from Watergate, Congress passes laws to limit presidential powers. For example, the War Powers Act of 1973 meant that the president had limited powers to take the country to war. I don't believe that this was all solely directed at Nixon, however. I believe that this was also a nod towards Lyndon Johnson, who had, obviously in 1964, with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, taken America into fully-fledged war, fully-blown war in Vietnam. The Ethics in Government Act of 1978 said that it was possible to have a special prosecutor to investigate alleged presidential wrongdoings, as Bill Clinton found out over the Monica Lewinsky affair towards the end of his presidency. And this, you know, arguably is wildly misused by the Republican Party against Clinton, and again is a device used to bring political deadlock and Capitol Hill. And so Congress was not willing to let not just Nixon off the hook, but the office of presidency off the hook. And what they wanted, particularly the Democrats, they wanted to prevent the possibility of there being an imperial presidency, a president who was capable not just of waging war around the world, but also of undermining the Constitution itself. And you get, interestingly, Gerry Ford and Jimmy Carter are two very different characters. Ford made almost a virtue out of his understated role within the White House as Vice President. As we all know, Vice President is something of a non-role within any president's administration, and no Vice President is actually ever expected to make it into the Oval Office. He said that he was really there as a kind of a safe hand on the wheel, not a powerful, imposing figure, and he believed that that's what America certainly didn't want that. Conspiracy theorists, who, let's face it, might not have been quite so conspiratorial, were shocked, outraged and angered when one of Gerry Ford's first acts was to pardon Nixon. And this tainted the Ford administration in the eyes of a great many Americans who were horrified by Nixon's actions, and that Nixon had managed to avoid trial. No further action was taken against him, meant that there were many Americans who ceased believing that the president was bound by the same laws that they were, which is a fundamental plank of American civic and political life, and the philosophy behind which supposedly the Republic is anchored. Ford wanted to be conciliatory with the Democrats and wanted to have a partnership with them. He he offered to testify before Congress, about the offer of a pardon to Nixon. But at this point, because of the pardon, there is no trust from the Democrats, and any chance he hoped for of having a non-partisan relationship with the Democrat Party crumbles at that point. The Democrats were obviously hoping that they would have Nixon's scalp, and really feeling quite cheated that they never get it. The office of the presidency is obviously, as we know, fundamentally undermined, and Ford doesn't really do much to reinforce, to rescue this with the pardon. Ford becomes something of a figure of fun in the press. Not only is he unelected, because he has simply been appointed from the vice presidency to the presidency, also his informality, his informal style, and his ability to generate magnificent gaffes on the television become the subject of kind of popular amusement, and he's depicted in all sorts of unflattering ways as a kind of a clown and a fool. He is indecisive. He was unable to articulate a clear position on things like such as taxation and the economy. And this is a time when America is going through some serious economic pain in the mid-1970s. And he was unable to deal with America's problems in the 1970s, particularly with inflation and the stagnating economy. An interesting statistic about the 1976 presidential election was that Jerry Ford, who lost, was viewed by 76% of Americans as not having presidential qualities. However, Jimmy Carter, who won, was viewed by 80% of Americans as not having presidential qualities. So more Americans voted for Jimmy Carter, and at the same time, more Americans did not believe that he had what it took to be a president. So in many ways, what we can learn from this is that there was a large number of Americans that wanted a man in office that didn't have presidential qualities, partly because what were perceived as presidential qualities had become so tainted by the actions of Richard Nixon. Jimmy Carter was almost the antithesis of Nixon. He was a Washington outsider. He was not tainted by the kind of the goings on of the Watergate scandal. Obviously, he's a Democrat, and Nixon was a Republican. But also, more fundamentally than that, he wasn't seen as being kind of an elite figure, and was sort of free of an overall sense that both parties were as bad as each other when it came to propriety.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
honesty and transparency. Carter may have been the antithesis of Richard Nixon, but he was also the antithesis of Lyndon B. Johnson, because he was terrible at mastering the legislative process. He could not control either of the houses. He, in particular, the Democrat Congress was something that slipped through his grasp. The ability of Lyndon Johnson to get through the 1965 Voting Rights Act, for example, shows you that despite what you may think of him, he was a supreme political operator and could twist arms, flatter and bully, and get things done. Jimmy Carter is none of these things. A very high-minded, idealistic, and ultimately honourable guy who went on television during his presidency to tell Americans that they could not continue consuming the world's resources at a rate in which they were doing so, and also that the America had become too materialistic and too selfish and too greedy. And you know, these are not the kinds of things that voters like to hear. You know, this is potentially electorally harmful. But he knew these things had to be said and went on and said them anyway. So really, quite an anomalous figure. The shock defeat in Vietnam, really, which begins in 1973 with Nixon signing the Paris Accords, and then 2 years later, the final fall of Saigon, which was the last humiliation in a way, as Huey helicopters lifted desperate evacuees from the roof of the US embassy. This was followed by an even, potentially even greater humiliation in 1979. In 1978, the Shah of Iran, one of America's clients in the Middle East, was overthrown by an Islamic revolution and the Ayatollah Khomeini was installed in his stead, and Iran becomes an Islamic Republic. In 1979, the US Embassy in Tehran is stormed and 60 American hostages are seized because Jimmy Carter had allowed the Shah of Iran to receive cancer treatment in America. They wanted the Shah of Iran returned to face trial and no doubt execution. And the disaster increases for America when the failure to release the hostages is to negotiate their release is compounded by a special forces raid which crashes in the desert. I have it on reliable authority from former US servicemen, but the disaster happened when two US transport planes in the desert were waiting for helicopters to land, and one of the ground crew directing batons, the luminous batons, pointed in the wrong direction and aircrafts collided and kaboom. That might be an apocryphal tale, so don't put it in your essays, but anyway. The loss of life in the Iranian desert of American servicemen was a propaganda gift to the new Islamic Republic, and the bodies of dead, burned US servicemen being dragged through the streets of Tehran shocked and horrified Americans as they were broadcast around the world. The administration was utterly humiliated. The Carter eventually managed to free the hostages, but they only were freed following the election of Ronald Reagan, who obviously takes credit for the freeing of them. So this international calamity, which caused Americans to believe yet further that America's status in the world had been eroded, handed this genial Hollywood actor, Ronald Reagan, a spectacular gift in the election campaign. the earnest and very religious and very moralistic Carter couldn't compete with Ronald Reagan, who was described as the great communicator. And in the election of 1980, a huge number of American voters simply stay home, 47%. In comparative terms, this is a huge decline in Democratic engagement. And the Democrats start to lose part of their core support, the working class, who begin to look upon Jimmy Carter as the kind of high-minded liberal sort of middle-class hero that they hate, and somebody who is so self-righteous that they are weak and indecisive. There were, in 1979, the percentage of Americans that thought that the American government would do what is right for most of the time had declined to 29%. Now, 10 years earlier, it was 56%. The percentage of Americans who believed that government officials were clever and smart and knew what to do, again, had declined from 69% in 1969 to 29% in 1979. So the 1970s had seen this huge decline in trust, and it wasn't just about Nixon, it was about Ford and Carter as well. The combination of the three of them, plus the Vietnam War, plus the ongoing problems in the American economy with inflation, had led to this corrosion in belief in government, and it really helps us to understand the appeal of Ronald Reagan. It also helps us to understand where a lot of these political energies go. The retreat from direct engagement with mainstream two-party political discourse sees a lot of these energies go into new areas of political organisation, like the environmental movement, and obviously the revival in fundamentalist Christianity across America, and a very militant, politicised Christianity at that. This perhaps explains some of the political landscape in America in the 1980s, the development of single-issue politics such as feminism or gay politics. Of course, there were radical antecedents of both these developments in political ideas from the 1960s and various liberation movements, but it shows why it was that they become greatly energised in the 1980s. The 1970s had taught a great many Americans that political engagement, traditional political engagement, was meaningless and irrelevant. And had seen this drift. I think, however, that the underlying economic picture also tells us something really important. Poverty in America grew throughout the 1970s. Poverty had been in retreat throughout the 1950s and the first half of the 1960s, and begins to really increase from the late 60s and early 70s onwards. The proportion of US citizens living below the poverty line grew from 11.2% in 1974 to 12.5% in 1976, and included half of all black female heads of households. Again, this does not bode well for the Democrat Party. The growth of food stamp users increased from 18.5 million in 1976 to 20 million in 1980. And this, again, it's black families who bear the majority of this burden. And in addition to that, unemployment grew from 6.5% in December 74 to 8.9% in May 75. And a new and insecure service sector grew. This is anything from the fast food industry through to data processing and the kinds of jobs that came in to replace heavy manufacturing as that started to decline. The death of the car industry in Detroit begins in the 1970s, and it's very difficult for guys who, and it's mainly guys at this point, who had worked in heavy industry throughout much of their lives, to retrain. The labour market mobility doesn't quite work like that. And so the social safety net that exists in the guise of things like federal minimum wages gradually increases, but not in line with inflation, which is obviously galloping throughout the 1970s. And the often discussed crisis of America's middle classes begins at this point, or certainly takes a fundamental step forward throughout the 1970s. So there was a feeling, really, that it didn't matter which party was in power, that whatever occurred, nothing could be done to address the gradual decline in America's foreign policy fortunes, America's economic fortunes, and the decline in trust of America's executive. Anyway, thanks very much. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I'll catch you on the next Explaining History podcast. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.